Welcome to the Amy Edwards Show. I'm your host, Amy Edwards. We are here to keep leveling up, keep showing up, keep striving for that next best version of ourselves. And I am super excited. I feel like I always say that, but I am. I think there's a beautiful thing about excitement, right? Letting yourself get excited, letting yourself feel good about what's to come. I mean, that keeps you present and it just keeps you, in a state of play and childlike happiness, I think. It keeps you connected with this core of yourself. And I love being excited. So I'm excited about this episode, just like I am with all of them. But we really do have an extra special guest. So thank you for being here. Up top, if you haven't reviewed the show, I would so appreciate it if you would. It would mean so much to me and it helps us grow. So thank you in advance for that if you haven't, or if an episode means something to you or somebody pops into your head, that's your intuition talking, send it to them. And that's also how we grow together. So thank you for being here and let's welcome today's guest. Today's guest is Christine Gale. Welcome, Christine. Christine is a family law attorney, the host of the Girl Out of Order podcast, a speaker, and an identity mastermind leader. She's also a survivor, and she's helping empower women to lead lives filled with authenticity, courage, and community, and personal growth by reclaiming their identities and embracing their true selves without apology or compromise. Oh, I love all that. And I love you, Christine. I met you at the Own Your Worth conference a few months ago. And I heard you speak and it was so powerful and you were so good. So I'm very excited to welcome you to the show.
I am so happy. I just can't stop grinning. Amy, I just love you. It was totally divinely appointed because I was so nervous to speak that day and there was one seat up front and it was right next to you and your beautiful man. So it made the conference just that much better.
Well, we were blown away because you hadn't told that story before on stage that you told that day about being a survivor and these deep stories that are part of our identity. And you blew it out of the water. We never would have known that you hadn't told that story before because it was polished and it was powerful. And I get a little teary even just thinking about it. So that's one of the things that we're going to cover today, right? Is excavating the stories that you may not want to tell. And I'm excited to get to that with you. And I'm also excited. I know that you coach a lot of people on divorce and there's a lot that goes with identity and getting to your true nature that goes with divorce. I have been divorced twice. So those divorces, I left those marriages. And the reasons I did were because I was getting to know myself so well. Mm. And I couldn't, and because I had such a growth mindset around it. And I needed a partner that had that growth mindset too, and was willing to let me evolve and grow. And when it didn't match up anymore, and they wanted me to stay the same or wanted to stay the same, it didn't work anymore. And I'm sure you can speak a lot to that. And a lot of people, not just women, can relate to growth and the mismatch that they feel with others in their life and how to navigate that. So maybe you can just start off by speaking to that in your own life and how you got here and, you know, how you've become a touchstone for people in that arena.
Wow, I'm getting teary even listening to you talk because that's the fun thing about having a podcast, isn't it? When you interview guests so much, you see a lot of your own story in the people that you bring on this show. So I'm getting emotional listening to your story even as you ask the question. And here's the thing, I wear a lot of different hats, right? I'm a family law attorney. That's my primary vocation. I have my own podcast, as you talked about, Girl Out of Order, and I'm creating and have already led an identity mastermind that's called Own Your Identity. And the original mastermind that I did for some of my post-divorce ladies, and it was called Who Am I Now? Mm-hmm. And it's such an appropriate question, and it dovetails with what you're asking. Because as we evolve through life, as life happens to us, or rather for us, as circumstances change, oftentimes it's like this slow erosion of who we are. In fact, especially as women, we sometimes wake up and if somebody said to you, Amy, when's the last time you asked yourself what you really want? More often than not, a woman will go, oh, crap, I couldn't tell you. When is the last time I asked what I really wanted or what I really needed and didn't filter the answer through all of the expectations placed on me by other people? Mm-hmm. And so for me, as a 52-year-old woman who's raised four daughters, well, okay, I've got one who's 17, but I can see the finish line. But as a 52-year-old woman who's raised up little humans into adults, I have gone through so many evolutions just in the natural progression of life and parenting. And the woman that I am and sitting here before you today is so vastly different than the woman that I was when I got married and built this house that I'm recording in and had all these babies. And it's not just the passage of time, but it's the experiences that happen in our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, Tony Robbins always says, you can say that life is happening to you and then you stay in that victim mindset. Or you can flip the script and say life is happening for me. And then what happens in your life can become a gift. And so the women that I work with, particularly in the divorce arena, from day one, I tell them, your healing begins today. Your reclamation of who you are as a woman starts the day you enter my office. I just have a very different approach, Amy, because yeah. I really believe that if women begin reclaiming their identity, whether they're going through divorce or just any kind of life circumstances, but if they don't wait till the circumstance resolves itself and they start really reclaiming themselves in the circumstance, it becomes such a much more empowering part of their life.
Yeah. And I love that question, who am I now? Because it has the word now in it. We're acknowledging that perhaps this is a different version of me, which I am all about on this show, right? Like becoming that next best version, whatever that looks like, and not discounting the person that I am or have been. Those are great too. I was doing the best I could, you know? And like, yes. And so giving myself enough grace in the past, which I'm sure you can probably speak to, and then acknowledging like the getting better of it, right? So yes. I love the now of it.
And I'm so glad you brought that up because I neglected to reference one thing that you had brought up and I thought was so powerful. And I think your listeners are going to really resonate with this. And first of all, let me honor your authenticity, your willingness to be vulnerable. Vulnerability is magic. Authenticity is magic. And it really is a catalyst for helping other people change. And so just sharing the fact, hey, raising your hand, like I've been divorced twice and here's why. And what you said really resonated with me as a divorce attorney and as a woman who has stood on the precipice of getting her own divorce. When your blueprint no longer matches your reality, it's time to make a change. Because people say, oh, a blueprint, blueprints are malleable. Blueprints evolve. Like, think about all the changes we as women go through in life, not just biological changes, but emotional changes, career changes. I was a stay-at-home mom for 10 years, and then a part-time working mom, and then a full-time working mom. Then I started my own business. Like, holy crap, I did all of that in like 15 years. And when I think about what you shared, like I was growing and my partner was stagnant. So the blueprint I was creating, and we talk about identity creation, I was creating a life on my terms and it no longer matched up with my circumstances because, Amy, you had so much self-love and self-worth, you made a really difficult decision to make a change.
Mm-hmm. I did. And you know, it's choosing what perspective you're going to look at it
yes.
through, isn't it? Because for me, I know that I had to say, this is about my own self-love and what I'm showing to my daughters, which I bet you can relate to. Absolutely. And you know, from another perspective, namely their dads who I left, from their perspective, it was a very different story, right? They would tell a completely different story. So we have a choice in the story that we're going to tell about it.
Okay. That's so powerful. Oh, you just dropped a bomb. I love that. You dropped a beautiful, it's a beautiful bomb.
This is what you do. I mean, like, I know that this is what you do about choosing identity, right? So
absolutely. And the beautiful nature of this bomb that you drop, this mic drop moment, is like the word stories. Stories change worlds. Mm-hmm. Stories change worlds. And the beautiful thing that I want women to know in what I do, whether it's in the legal field, on my podcast, or in my coaching or my mastermind, is I want them to understand when you change your story, you change your life. Operative word there, Amy, is change. It's change. Change is a choice. Not all changes are choice, but when it comes to our stories, change is a choice. And we don't get to change the, we don't get to choose the fact that our bodies change and our, we get older and God, you know, you and I are going off and doing little wrinkles. We don't get those choices, but we do get to choose how we frame our story, mm-hmm. what our story means to us. And then we get to write a new story. And that's where I get so passionate, is helping women write a new story, helping them reclaim their identity, helping them embrace their truest selves, and then giving them the tools and the courage to write a new story and chart a new course like you did.
Yeah. So you have some steps to really reclaiming that identity. So can you share like what this looks like and how you go through that with people, or what you recommend to them? If someone's like, I don't know where to start, what do you tell
Absolutely. them? Absolutely. Well, we have in the mastermind that I'm creating it alongside my really close friend, Dawn Taylor, over in the UK. And I'm so excited. We are launching the first ever, in my mind, I'm making that up. I don't know if it's
that. It sounds good to
but
me.
We're going to have
first ever I've heard of.
There you go. We're going to have a European and American mastermind running parallel, but we're going to come together every Sunday. And it's so interesting because she's doing it in, you know, she's British and she's doing it in her, you know, with her kind of words and to reach the European women. I'm doing this to reach my, you know, probably my North American women. But the cool part about it is there's so many parallels between what we're doing and so many crossovers. And so what Dawn and I are putting together isn't so much necessarily five steps as it is five areas, five phases is what we're calling. Mm-hmm. And it's five phases of identity creation. I like to say at Girl Out of Order, we help women recover, uncover, or for the first time ever, discover their true identities and embrace their beautiful selves. Would you mind if I gave just a little bit of background on that passion before I dive into the steps?
Please do. Okay. I would love to hear it.
Okay. So whenever I'm trying to decide if this is a teacher that I want to follow or a course I want to buy or a program that I want to enroll in, I always want to understand the story of the person behind the teaching. Mm-hmm. And so I want women to know that my passion and what I believe makes me unique is I come to this identity creation from a very, I think it's an unusual perspective. And here's why. When I was in college, I was, and I'm going to use this the political example, not that it's a political conversation, but it just exemplifies the evolution of my perspective.
Okay.
I was really super far left politically on all of the issues in college. I think a lot of college kids or whatever.
Yeah, totally.
And then I swung the pendulum really, really far right. I got involved deeply in a conservative evangelical denomination. And so while I found a lot of amazing friends and community there, it was extremely restrictive, did not elevate women other than certain functions that they could take. Women can't teach, you know, submissive to their husbands. Like it was very, so you know me a little bit, Amy. Like I'm not exactly a pussycat, right? I'm a bit of a tiger. And so I went from this one perspective of what it didn't have a faith component to it. So I clung to the faith on the other perspective. And then I found a place where I found people that I loved, but I found Christine, we'll pray for you. It wasn't a welcoming, like, we love you for who you are. We welcome your strengths. We love your voice. It was like, the message was, you're just too much. And yet, you'll never be enough. You'll never measure up. You'll never be that quiet and gentle spirit.
Or a man.
So, yeah, no. I mean, you know, honestly, what the heartbreaking thing was, is I was like, where do I fit in? And I was reading the Four Agreements. Have you read the Four Agreements?
Yes.
No, okay. I had a little hard time getting started, but now it's like I'm devouring it. And he's talking about the power of the word. And when we get messages, if we agree with those messages, they lock into our souls and they become the filter through which we either love ourselves or in a lot of times despise ourselves. Mm-hmm. And what happened, Amy, is this was happening at a very, very formative time in my life because I was having babies and I didn't know how to raise them because I wasn't raised with an intentional mama. My mom loved me, but she was gone. So I'm like trying to figure this out and I'm looking around at all these women and I'm like, I can't measure up. And I would just cry because I couldn't figure out how to organize things. I wasn't submissive wife. I just didn't fit anywhere. And then when I went back to work, I found out I didn't fully fit in there either because there wasn't a strong component of faith in the workforce and the legal environment. So what I found, and this is where Girl Out of Order was born, is from the fierce desire to create a space and a place for all women to find their true authentic self. Not to say, these are the things you should do. This is how you should be. This is what you should think. This is how you should pray. But it's like, you, Amy, were fearfully and wonderfully made. I always say, it's not like I came off the assembly line in heaven and God goes, oh, who messed this one up? This is going to be rough. I always picture God seeing me come off the assembly line and going, oh, this is going to be fun. She's going to be a firecracker and she's going to change worlds because she's going to share her truest self. And so my passion for identity creation and helping women with identity reclamation is born from a yearning in myself of wanting to find a place where I could belong, where women would actually see me and run towards me instead of the other way. And you know, we're in this True Legacy Collective together, this TLC group. Ugh, you gotta find your tribe. This tribe is incredible and we're all so different. That's my passion with Girl Out of Order. So that's my background.
Yeah, yeah. And I can really relate to a lot of that, to trying to fit into the mold that religion can, you know, present. And because in my first marriage, I tried really hard. I converted to Catholicism. And if you know me at all, I mean, I just lit Palo Santo before we started. Like I got all these like, you know, woo-woo tendencies and I have love a broad view of spirituality and religion. And it just didn't stick. It's long story short. So yeah, in a lot of ways. And so I can relate to that. And it comes with time and age. And yes, perspective sometimes. And, you know, beating yourself up as a mom too. And you were having girls. So you're like, what am I teaching them? And that can be such a catalyst in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and the messages that I received about marriage, and you know my story, mm-hmm. you know, when my husband made the tragic choice to be unfaithful in our marriage,
maybe you can tell a little bit about that. And your
Yeah. Give a little bit of background on that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
My husband has been unfaithful twice in our marriage. And we deal with addiction and I was trying to navigate through all of the addiction pieces before it escalated to the affairs. And the help we got from the church was basically pray, surrender, forgive, and don't tell anybody.
Ooh.
Yeah, fast and pray.
I see the don't tell anybody didn't quite stick.
No.
As you're sitting in front of
No, it definitely did not stick. And that's where I'm so passionate about stories, because by sharing my story, I'm seeing people's marriages change and heal. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was horrible advice, obviously, because, you know, whatever you believe about sin, any kind of sin or bad behavior thrives in the dark and it is repelled by the light. And bringing your stories out, that is bringing it into the light. So in 2012, when my husband had his first affair, the pastor called me the next day and asked for my forgiveness because he hadn't come to me sooner about what an unsubmissive wife I was. And if maybe if I hadn't been unsubmissive, yeah, I know. I knew your face was going
to
be.
I have to go throw my microphone in the street. Oh, my God.
That was a horrifying moment. And
He's asking for your forgiveness because he didn't tell you you're doing a shitty job. That's like basically it.
That sums it up pretty much. Yes.
I'm sorry. I got to recover. Oh my.
No, that's okay.
OMG.
This is the place where we got all this help, right? And so fast forward a couple months later, we go.
Wait, how did you react to that? Hold on. Did you drop the phone?
I mean, I was literally driving along in my minivan. I'm going to be really, really vulnerable here. And it was the day after it had happened. And I can still see. It's crazy the things we remember. I can literally see my minivan was passing by the McDonald's. I can tell you exactly where it was. And I was just so distraught. One of my friends said it was like watching her friend walk around without skin. Like it was like a blowtorch to bare skin when this kind of thing happens. And I was just trying to decide if I could save my children from this knowledge, right? I was just trying to put one foot in front of the other. And I mean, I was speechless. I was just absolutely speechless.
Yeah.
What do you say to that? What would anybody say?
No, I'd be dumbfounded. Dumbfounded.
Like, but this was congruent, unfortunately, with the church at the time, because 2 months later we went for this this intensive therapy weekend at the church on their grounds. They had a house there and they have a counseling ministry. That's what they call it. I'll leave that judgment for another time. But the head of the counseling ministry was working with us. He had his apprentice with him, that we had our two friends that were our sponsors and then another sponsor couple. So there was like 8 of us in this room and I'm talking and I'm in so much pain, right? I'm angry. I'm sure it's not like my most glorious moment, but can be expected. And the head of the entire counseling ministry for this multi-campus church looks at my husband and says, "She must be very difficult to be married to."
Wow.
And I just put my pen down and I didn't listen anymore. So what was my reaction? Here's the thing. Even though everything in my spirit resisted it, there's still that broken, sad, hurting woman. You still take it into your soul. And so having to rewrite that story, Amy, it took a lot of time. And unfortunately, 2 years later, my husband had another affair. And this is the ironic part. So I don't think you'll get your microphone out of the street here. That same pastor calls me the next day and says, "I want to let you know that if you choose to divorce your husband, you have the full support of myself and the entire elder board." So it's like, he did a little bit of a script flip. And I want to make sure that I fast forward several years, because as a divorce attorney, I actually subpoena a lot of witnesses and a lot of my clients are from the church. So I've been able to subpoena this pastor as a witness. And I talked to him and I told him what he had said. And to his credit, we do evolve as humans.
Good for him.
He was weeping and he genuinely asked for my forgiveness. And I made him promise me he would never do that to another woman again.
Oh, wow.
When we find our voice and when we speak our truth and when we no longer agree with the crappy, evil, rotten, terrible, disempowering statements others make to and about us, then we start to change.
Ooh. And who knows the ripple effect that you had for standing up for yourself, you know? The women that were exempted from that and spared from that.
That's a great way to say that, exempted from that. Because, you know, if we don't tell our stories and if we don't know who we genuinely are, we are missing an opportunity, Amy, to change the world. Because when we change our stories, we change our lives. When we change our lives, we change the world. And sometimes changing the world starts in our own home, with our own children and our parents and our aunts and our uncles and our brothers and our cousins and our community and the PTA and the soccer moms. That's what has happened in my life because I am open with my story. I have seen an impact on literally the soccer sidelines, talking to the mamas, being a light, being willing to be honest about what's happened, to be raw. But it has to start with knowing who you are. So it's a long, long-winded way around what your actual question was about identity creation. And I think it's really important you understand the heart behind the mission of anybody that you're listening to or considering following or learning from.
I do too. And that was so powerful. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Thank you for sharing that. This podcast is sponsored by Wands. Wands creates luxurious pleasure practice tools that help people become more connected to their bodies. They have a huge selection of incredible items like yoni eggs, the most gorgeous crystal pleasure wands you've ever seen, free bleed blankets, and my favorites, the trademarked glass cervix wand and the Venus wand, which is their heaviest wand made of stainless steel, and their new ecstatic vibrator. This company is woman-owned and creates products designed to help you become more connected to your body and your pleasure and support the healing of pelvic pain. Get yours today in their always discreet packaging at wands.com. That's wands with two A's, WAANDS.com. And use my link in the show notes to get 10% off or enter the code Amy Edwards at checkout. Again, that's wands, WAANDS.com. The Amy Edwards Show is sponsored in part by Higher Dose. Higher Dose creates wellness tech for everyone with tools, supplements, and body care. And I have 15% off for you with my code MAGIC15. Higher Dose has been featured in Goop, Glamour, Elle, Vogue, Bazaar, Allure, and more. I have their infrared pulsed electromagnetic field, or PEMF, mat, which emits electromagnetic waves that mimic natural frequencies found in nature, stimulating and encouraging your body's natural recovery process. It also has 20 pounds of crystals in it and has shown to ease chronic pain, aid in exercise recovery and circulation, deepen your meditations, reduce stress, and improve total body relaxation. I also love their red light face mask. It stimulates collagen, reduces fine lines, regenerates cells, and it's soft and easy to use in store and even travel with. I'm a true fan of these items and more, like their glow serum. So I'm excited to offer you 15% off using my code MAGIC15. Go to the show notes. You can click through on the link right there. Or if you go to Higher Dose, just enter the code MAGIC15 for 15% off. HigherDose.com. This podcast is sponsored by The Collective ATX. If you're looking for the best in hair extensions, it's The Collective ATX. They do mine, and I won't go anywhere else. I've tried them all over the years, and finally, I've found what makes my real hair stronger and fuller, and even works with my natural curl. They keep all their extensions in-house, so there's no wait, and they specialize in no damage to your natural hair like traditional hair extension methods. Plus, they're pros at color and covering gray. I have literally never in my life been happier with my color. They were named a top 200 salon by Salon Today in 2023. They've changed my hair journey. Let them change yours. The Collective ATX, link is in the show notes. Whew. Okay, so if we're starting small, right, we're starting with ourselves.
Yes.
What are the five tenets, the five tools that you have that you're recommending to people? Can you share those?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So the first one is just simply acknowledgement. It sounds so simple, and that's the beauty and that's the power, is it is simple. Because if we don't acknowledge where we are, we can't make changes. We can't tweak it, and we can't celebrate it. Because it's not just about acknowledging what we're doing wrong or what we want to improve. It's acknowledging our badass selves. Mm-hmm. Like, good grief, I got some really good shit going on there. Like, I am nailing it in that area, because it's got to be a balance with women. Women are very hard on themselves, and we're very hard on other women. And so what we do in phase one is it's about acknowledging. Tony Robbins says, what gets measured gets managed. Mm-hmm. I would add to that, what doesn't get measured dies. It atrophies, it molds, it mildews, whatever gross term you need to anchor that in your brain. If you're not managing your life, it's not growing. Mm-hmm. Or it's growing mold.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, it just is, because change is the one constant. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we start with acknowledgement. And I don't know, are you familiar at all with the wheel of life?
I think so.
Okay. So the wheel of life.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah. The wheel of life is, it's just literally a wheel, and it's broken into certain different segments of your life. Now, I've seen wheels of life that are done where the segments are filled in for you, like mm-hmm. finances, relationships, health, spirituality, whatever. And I think those are really important. But what I'm doing in this course, what Dawn and I are putting together, is we are doing a wheel of life, and we have actual blanks, because we want to empower women to choose what areas of their life they feel led to measure. And the concept of the wheel is you want to measure from 0 to 10 where you feel, for lack of a better word, successful mm-hmm. in that particular area. And one of the things Dawn is particularly passionate about, and I'm so thankful that we're collaborating on this because she's very much a blueprint and I'm very much a nurturer. So it's a really good balance. She's like, what does a 0 actually mean? What does a 10 actually mean? So we do a lot of teaching women and equipping them to understand, like, don't measure your life with the voices of others in your head. Like, if you're looking at your finances, let's use finances, for example. Finances is a challenging area for myself and in our marriage. So I could look at it like through the lens of, he doesn't necessarily do this, Sean's saying you spend too much. So then I'm going to measure myself in that mm-hmm. area based upon the judgment of somebody else. That's not what we're looking at, because this is a beautiful process for the woman. I'm a farm girl, so I love the visual of a silo. And I don't know if you're familiar with me. You're from Texas, right?
Oh, yeah.
Probably
yeah.
But very familiar with silos. The beautiful thing about silos is they are fully encased and enclosed. So I want women to go into their own identity silos. I want them to filter out anybody else's judgments, thoughts, statements, hurts, and even celebrations, because I want them to be radically honest about where they are. Because if we're going to rebuild or reclaim, or maybe for the first time ever really discover a woman's true identity, she has to be the one doing the honest analysis. So I would look at my finances and I would say, what are my goals? What is my outcome? My outcome is to be debt-free. My outcome is to be wise with my spending. My outcome, and this is where my area of struggle is to be intentional with every dollar.
Mm.
That is an area I really struggle with. So in that case, my finances, I usually measure between a 2 and a 4. That's congruent to me. So whatever Amy would do, Amy, you would say spirituality. I don't know you that well, but I suspect that you feel very strong in your spirituality because you're very connected to yourself. It doesn't matter what your man says or what your daughters say. It's like, what does Amy feel about her? I feel very spiritually connected. I'm clear in my mission. So you would put yourself at a higher. So we help women understand how to measure that. And the reason it's a wheel is because you picture it on the wheel in a car. And usually our lives are quite out of balance. So if you had that wheel rolling on your car, it would not be a very smooth ride. And what this does is it helps women identify where they need to put the majority of their energies. Does that make sense?
Makes total sense. And I love your analogy about the balance. Like, that's really great. So you're essentially striving to get them all, you know, maybe not exactly tens, but close, right? And they might vary a little bit because like my spirituality, if you'd ask me, you know, at a different point, I would be like 9. And then, you know, maybe at other points 6 months ago, I might have said, you know, 6, 5, you know. So yeah. I think that we can fluctuate. You can allow a little fluctuation in there probably too. So
yeah. And I recommend that women do the Wheel of Life 2 to 3 times a year.
Oh, wow.
We talked about the catalyst, like that, not the catalyst. We talked about change being a constant.
Yes.
Like, you know, right now, you know, I'm going through some potential health challenges. Well, I'm going to probably have some different shifts in where I feel successful or fulfilled. That's another good word, fulfilled mm-hmm. in a particular area coming up. So it's like we do this a couple times a year so that you can keep reevaluating what to focus on. Because, you know, I'm really strong in my marriage right now. By the way, to fast forward to the end, I should say, we are doing amazing. We've worked really hard and I didn't want to leave that hanging.
That's so incredible.
We've come a really, really long way. And that's another story for another time. But mm-hmm. I did want to say that and honor my husband because he has done everything that I've asked him to do and more. But, you know, when I look at my marriage, if my marriage is at a place where I feel very fulfilled there, here's the temptation, Amy. The temptation is to put our energies into what feels good, what feels successful, where we feel fulfilled. We want to, mm-hmm. we direct our attention to what's kind of call it the low hanging fruit. Cause I'm like, nailed it on my health today. Well, if it's not hard for you and you already exercise 7 times a week, like, do you really need to focus? Are you really looking for change? Because remember this, a lot of this is about change and transformation.
That is such a good point too, right? We tend to put our energy into the things that we're already good at because they're easier. And then, and the neglecting finances or whatever it is, rather than putting in the work over there. Why is that? Do you think it's because we think that's going to suffer, or it's just human nature to go do what's easy?
Oh, such a great question. I would say it's the latter. Identity work is, it's simple, but it's not easy. Mm-hmm. And identity work takes radical honesty, and it takes a strong will. So what we do as humans is we want to avoid pain. That's a beautiful thing, right? God created us to avoid pain so we could survive.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Working on the hard things is often uncomfortable. It may not be painful, although sometimes it can be very painful, especially in relationships, but it's uncomfortable. So if we are already wired to avoid discomfort, you know, it's probably likely that we're going to have to make an act of the will and a commitment to those areas.
Have you seen in your own wheel of life the sections? Have you seen those sections change? Have you
Absolutely.
Seen, yeah? Like what's some that maybe dropped out and some that you've added? I'm just curious, like, because it seems like I'm wondering what the possibilities are of the sections, you know?
Okay. Well, so for me, one of the struggles I had with the way the wheel was is it would say business/finances. And to me, those are very different.
Yeah.
So for me, business means how am I running my law firm? And then finances is how am I running the finances, the money that's coming in? And another thing is they would often say business/mission. Well, you and I are both, we have business and we have mission.
Yeah.
And they are often different. So for me, right there, you've got three categories that are often lumped together that I believe need to be pulled apart.
Perfect.
But that's my own analysis. If another woman says my business and finances, they really go together. Fantastic. Go to town.
Yeah. Well, what a great example. All right. What comes next?
All right. So this is the part where this is the most work. This is not only the most work, this is the most energy, and it's also the most important phase. And that's just my opinion. And it's awareness. Mm-hmm. Because if we continue to sleepwalk through life and sleepwalk through our identity, we cannot make the changes needed to build the most compelling life that we want, desire, and deserve. So what does that mean? It means you've got to get aware of what disempowering beliefs are fueling the way that you show up in life. Because a lot of times, like a computer program, when you go and you do a computer like clean and you go, holy smokes, there's like 800 programs running in the background and I had no idea. I don't know if that's just me being this not techie.
No, I don't know.
It's shocking sometimes the programs that are running in the background and they're sucking the energy and memory out of your computer. We are human computers. And oftentimes the disempowering beliefs that are running in the background are sucking the energy and life and growth out of us. So we walk women through how to identify the most disempowering beliefs that are going on. And then we help them flip the script and write out empowering beliefs. And here's a little example of how this works. So in my mastermind, I draw two big circles and I have my women saying, what are some ways that you speak garbage about yourself, to yourself, over yourself, or, to others about yourself? Just let me have mm-hmm. it. And what's so frustrating, but so congruent with how we are as humans, especially women, is like, I can't write fast enough because there's so much. And then when I say, so tell me all the things you love about yourself, believe about yourself, or see in yourself. And it's like crickets.
You're like, and like sitting there thinking, what?
So let me tell you how I've seen this. Yeah, exactly. But it's not once you start the fire. So here's how I did this. I did a workshop for my daughter's college soccer team and I called it Own Your Identity. And I did the whole board and then these 19 or 18 to 23 year olds, I mean, they were spewing garbage about themselves. And these are like elite athletes.
Wow.
Human. So it's heartbreaking. I'm writing, trying not to cry. And then I had another board. And at first I was going to say, tell me all the things you love about yourself. But I had an intuition at that moment that was not going to fly. So I said, okay, we're going to do something different. I want you to raise your hands and tell me something amazing that you see in one of your teammates. Again, I could not write fast enough.
I love it.
So I do that in these mastermind groups because they start to pull out what they see in others. And then we show them you're just mirrors for one another. You just can't see it yet. And that's what we do in awareness. It's like getting to the root of the garbage you're believing. And then we talk all about inquiry. I don't know if you're familiar with Byron Katie.
Oh, very.
Okay. So I teach the work in this phase. And it's so, so important because oftentimes, again, with the sleepwalking analogy, we sleepwalk through our beliefs. We don't even question them. It goes back to what we were talking about with the acknowledgement the agreements. Like we agree with things and we don't even realize we agree with garbage mm-hmm. that's been given to us. So it's about inquiring, teaching women to dance with these beliefs and to interact with them and dance with them and ask themselves, is this really true? And as an attorney, I'm like, you know, first of all, I want to defend anything and everything because that's just my nature. But is it really true? Can you be absolutely sure? Do you have every piece of evidence that you need to know that you are not a businesswoman? That was one of my painful, disempowering beliefs. And the answer in 99.9% of the cases is, well, no. Right.
Right.
And then if you go on Byron Katie's or the work.com, I think it is.
I think so too.
Yeah. She has this spreadsheet of all these different emotions. How does it feel when you believe something you just admitted you can't be sure is true? And then you feel all these garbage emotions. You're like, why am I if I don't know it's true, I'm making an agreement with something that I can't prove is true. And then the third step in that is that, how would you feel? Who would you be if you didn't believe that? So we give women practical tools to engage with these beliefs that keep them stuck. And that awareness phase.
Oh man, I love all that so much. And yeah, if anybody's not familiar with Byron Katie, the work, you ask, is this true? Can I really know this to be true? How do I feel when I think this thought? And then how would I feel if I could never think this thought again? Essentially, right? That's the basic rundown. And I highly recommend it. And okay, so now we get aware. Yes. Now what are we doing?
Okay, so there's one little transition step between awareness and the design phase, which is the third phase. And it's really teaching women about state and leverage. Because once you do the inquiry, once you start dancing with those beliefs, we teach women how to manage their state, how to move their body when they're changing, like when they're dancing. I was kind of, you can see me, I'm dancing. But physiology first, moving your body, changing how you stand, how you breathe, how you hold your head. And then where are they putting their focus? What are you focusing on? Are you focusing on what you do have or what you don't have? Are you focusing on what you have to do or what you get to do? And then we talk about transformational vocabulary, language, and meaning. And the reason that is so important to bridge the gap between awareness and design is because as we are retraining ourselves with these new beliefs and we go to the design phase, we have to have a tool that is going to be something that we can apply when we feel those disempowering beliefs begin to suck us back in.
Love that.
And so much power in the words that we choose and how we speak about how we feel, how we speak about our situations, and how we speak about our challenges. And so then we talk about the design phase. And this is when it gets fun. This is when we get to start dreaming and planning and plotting and discovering who we are, what we want. And so we teach women to write out what life on their beautiful terms looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So what does life on Amy Edwards' her terms, not in terms of your man, not in terms of your daughters, not in terms of your mission, but you, like if you had your dream life, and we get women to sort of start to write. Remember I talked about how women don't know the last time they asked what they wanted they needed?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we do all of these writing activities in the design phase, and we focus on teaching them to prioritize themselves. And it's awkward. It's really uncomfortable for a lot of these women, especially women that are more I'm an Enneagram fanatic. And so a lot of women are twos, they're helpers. And so for them, it's like they have to really like sometimes it like hurts them physically to write out what they really want. But you can see the transformation in them. And we go on rants. We go on rants literally where we make them stand up, move their physiology, focus on what they want. And then yell out the language. I am a powerful woman. I am a businesswoman. I can do this. I draw money. I am, and we do a lot of I am statements and I have and I will and I can. And it sounds simplistic. And again, Identity work is simple. It's just not easy. And you have to retrain your brain. You have to open up new neural pathways for women to start prioritizing themselves. And that's the design phase. There's a lot more to it, but really it's about uncovering their values, uncovering the primary question that they approach life with. It's a lot of writing exercises, and they come away ready, so much more ready for phase four.
Wow. Okay. So that's incredible. I love that. And it resonates with me. You know, I've done a lot of this type of work and creating or designing the life that I want, or at least stepping more into figuring out what do I want and why haven't I ever figured that out till my late 40s or asked myself that question, you know, because like suddenly like I did some powerful work and went to this play party, which is conscious kink focused. So it's really outside of my comfort zone. And that was a couple of years ago, but I was faced with that thinking, I don't even know what I want. Like I literally don't know how to get rid of the filters. And so I think a lot of people can relate to that and just that sense of like, wait, where is that? What is that? How do I even get there? So that's incredible. So what's next?
Okay. So if we stop there, what we would find is a really pretty journal with a lot of words that women would struggle to not ignore and fall back into old patterns. So phase four is called evolve. It's about evolution. So what we want to do is we want to give women tools. Now that you've uncovered what you want, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to actually go out in the world and implement it? And so we want women in this phase to evolve into who they truly are, to get to know who they really are. And so we help women in phase four create a life plan where we break down the different areas of their lives and they get to design that life in a beautiful format. Because let's be honest, most women like pretty things. I'm not saying everybody, but we want anchors so that women don't forget. They don't close their journal and go on about their way.
Yeah.
But they have something beautiful that they can create and see. We want to create a life, what we call a life masterpiece, a life plan where we take your relationships and your parenting and your finances and your business, your mission, and we help women plug in that life on their own terms in a beautiful format. And then we help them create what's called a life manifesto. And this is where it gets super fun. With the life manifesto, we engage the other side of the brain. And I don't ever remember if it's the left or right, whatever the creative side of the brain.
I always forget to. Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember.
I think it's right.
Whatever that side is, I generally don't have much use of that side. I'm that kid who could only draw stick figures. So I very much admire artists. But this is one area I've been able to really light up and really anchor in who I am. My life manifestos have changed so much since I did the first one. And my most recent one, we pick a new name if women are open to it. Like, because, you know, we use our old names. Sometimes we anchor old patterns to our old names. So sometimes, it's a kind of weird.
I love it.
And literally, I did not engage in the name thing. I was super crabby about it until literally the fourth round. I'll be honest. And so what we do is we teach women to name.
What was the name you chose?
So I had to name the old person.
That
was my first one. And I was a little reluctant to do that. Our leader, she would call her old person with a disempowering belief. She called her Griselda, which I thought was hysterical. So I decided to call her Crabby Chrissy because I was called Chrissy growing up. So Crabby Chrissy. And it's just, I had to do something for me. What worked for me is having something that made me giggle. Because then I could see like Crabby Chrissy. I don't want to be Crabby Chrissy. You know, for me, it was just kind of, I don't know, it anchored in for me. So we help women and we obviously honor their voices if they don't feel comfortable. We don't push it. But then we help them as they're designing these life manifestos, find a name that resonates with this identity that they are building. So for me, my name is Aurora Flame.
Oh, I love it.
I know. And I love Aurora Flame because I've been on a journey since I had an intervention with Tony Robbins in December of 2022 that, in my opinion, saved our marriage and probably saved me as a woman. But one of the things he challenged me on is to start showing up more of my feminine, because my masculine comes so naturally because I'm a natural protector. And I've also had to protect myself most of my life. And so what I've been on is this journey of integrating my feminine and masculine. And so for me, the Aurora Borealis, it's mysterious. And I just feel like it's a female. I don't know. And it just, it's got mystery and colors and it moves and it, and no one can figure it out. So to me, it might as well be a woman, right? And then flame is my masculine. It's my fire. It's my passion. It's what makes me who I am. So I put those two together and I created my manifesto that ends with the phrase, I am Aurora Flame. And I can read just a couple little phrases of it if it gives you some a flavor of what a manifesto is.
Sure, why not? Yeah, okay. Why not?
So we start by saying 2024 is my year. And then we pick a word. So 2024 is my year to ascend. I am fearlessly authentic. Where my little girl was once a shadow, my true woman is now in the light. I bring the light. I am the light. You see how it's just like, you're already, I can tell by your face, you're like, oh, I want to
get love it. I love it.
I embrace my feminine as a friend and I amplify all she is teaching me. I speak, I walk, I breathe what is true. I am spiritually in tune and I trust my intuition. So do you see how that's more poetic? But I move my body, I move my hands, I touch my beautiful body. There's one point it's like, I am in tune with my body and I listen to her signals and I just feel very sensual and connected. And so this manifesto, it's this evolution, it's pushing women out of their boxes and, mm-hmm. and allowing them some creative freedom. And then we say, you need to record this in your beautiful voice with your beautiful passion so you can pop in your earbuds and remind yourself who I freaking am.
Yeah. I'm all about it. I'm all about doing that. Yes.
Yeah.
Because when you hear your own voice, it's so empowering. And like, please, people, use that. Even if it's not doing this exact process, it's so powerful to write out, you know, all these things about yourself and listen back. It's incredible. I've been meaning to record a new one. It's on my like to-do list and I haven't done it yet. And this is helping me, like, you know, it's giving me that little kick to do.
So let's talk about step five. And this is,
yes,
this
please.
Is a very, it's not, it's a long step, but it's a very short explanation.
Okay.
Number five is momentum. So what Dawn and I found is in our program that we would take together, we always felt like it kind of like it was just over. And we're like, well, what's next? Like you've done all this work and then women are just left with like, well, what do I do now? And so what we want to provide in our identity mastermind is this is an ongoing process. So there's two pieces to this momentum piece. It's fueling your growth, which means finding your tribe. So what we don't want is to have women do all this work and then find themselves on an island again. So we teach women how to become the kind of woman you want to attract and then go out and put yourself out of your comfort zone. Seek accountability, seek a mastermind. There are places out there for women to say, I just can't find anywhere I fit in. It's just because you haven't, to be frank, you haven't looked hard enough. I didn't say it was easy, but you have to keep trying. So to build momentum in your identity, you need to find like-minded, but more importantly, like-hearted women. Mm-hmm. And then the second piece is lifelong learning. You must stay, if you're not on, get on a personal growth journey and then stay plugged in. I do Tony Robbins programs several times a year. I get up every morning and I do my quiet time. My husband has a chair. I have a chair. And in the summer, we're out on our front porch. We start our day by filling our brains with good shit. You know, it's really easy to fill your brain with social media and emails and all. And I'm guilty of it too. I'm not perfect. But when we start our days with personal growth and reading and using what Dean Graziosi calls net time, no extra time, if you're out walking, pop your earbuds in. Sometimes I listen to an audiobook because that's just what I feel like. And, you know, I love a little fiction. But then there's podcasts and there's groups on Facebook. There's so many places you can go, but you must stay on a personal growth journey. And that's how women not only create their identity, but they evolve their identity and they keep identity momentum.
Yeah. I'm somewhere between that. Sometimes I don't want to get too caught up in what's next, and this path of thinking It's like striking a balance, right? The yeah. path of thinking, because even what I said in this podcast in the beginning, right, is like our next best self. Like there's a striving toward that, but also there's a balance of peace and love and joy and contentment and happiness in this moment right now, right? Yes. And I don't ever want this next moment to take over what is present. And so that's been an interesting space to explore for me. And mm-hmm. you know what? That is kind of personal growth. So the irony is, I suppose, that that is like actually working on your personal growth, right? But it's really choosing happiness in this moment, and mm-hmm. I've got all I need, right? And like striking that balance between the extra time, like, so maybe you want to go for a walk in silence. Fucking great. That's that. I wouldn't consider that extra time. I would consider that time well used. And so, you know, it's like finding that little balance. And how do you feel about that?
Okay. So I'm so glad that you said that. Thank you for sussing out that really important distinction. Because from the beginning of identity creation, it is all about helping women find their voice. Mm-hmm. And you know, a Girl Out of Order in my community, we are all about building bridges among all women, about cultivating bravery to do this identity work, to about living boldly, knowing who you are, and then building these bridges like I talked about. So part of that is when you know who you are and you know what your voice is and you learn how to use it, your voice might be, today I need silence.
Yeah.
That is no extra time, in my opinion, because
mine
silence
too.
Is personal growth. So I'm glad that you said that, because there is a tendency in some personal growth communities to be like, go, 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 go. And that isn't always helpful. And sometimes, if I may be so bold, that's a very masculine approach.
Mm-hmm.
And the more feminine approach is to strike more of that balance, to provide more of that space, because so often we women fill up our schedules so full, there isn't any white space. And we need that. So it's about, that's the beautiful thing about this identity work. When you get to the point, to the momentum phase, Amy, you are so dialed in to who you are and what you want and that life on your terms that you might have already created in your spirituality life plan. I will take walks in silence because that fills my soul.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
You're right. It's not only about balance, but it's about a knowing and trusting your knowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love that so much. Thank you. I also, you know, and thank you. Like, is there anything about identity that you need to round out there before I ask another question?
I don't think so. Okay. I think I've been pretty,
I love that system.
Yeah. It's about those five phases, and there's, mm-hmm. there's all kinds of nuances and different exercises within those phases. But as you can see, it's a gradual building, and then it's more of a, like a launch pad at the end of like, yeah, once you know who you are and you know what life you're seeking, then you're like ready to go.
Yeah. Well, you are becoming a master at telling stories that were previously hard for you to tell. Mm-hmm. And even just talking about your husband's infidelity, that is not something that people tell at all, really. Like that's something that a lot of people keep close. And that's fine, right? That's fine if that's their path. But for you, you're telling harder stories. And would you say that the more solid you are, if you do the identity work, the easier it is to tell those hard stories because you're so solid in that? I mean, is that a foundational practice, I guess, for telling the harder stories that we think we can't tell?
Oh, what a beautiful question. The short answer is absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely true. And the story that I had been too afraid to tell, as I told it, Own Your Worth, involves not only my husband's infidelity, but the abuse that I suffered at the hands of a family member when I was a child. And when I went into this True Voice intensive, a speaker intensive that I did where this story came to fruition, I went in there believing I knew what story I was born to tell. Or, you know, it was about identity creation and I knew who I was speaking to. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, when we started stripping back even more layers, because I've been doing this for years, but I'm still in process, it's like, once you start pulling back the layers of sediment that have formed over your identity, then your soul, it's like it needs to speak. It's crying out to speak. And so when you get comfortable with who you are and you no longer, pardon my language, give a shit what anybody thinks, then your soul goes, awesome. Now let's go. Because when we share those really painful stories, and not everybody is equipped or desires to do that, but for those of us who do, when we do that, we open up courage for other women to tell their stories. In fact, when at Own Your Worth, I had a little girl's mom come up, and she was, I think, 8 or 9 there. And she said, I asked my daughter what her favorite speaker was. And she said, it was the lady in the pink who told me I never have to hide. So there's a little girl at 8 years old. Amy, do you
oh my God, that's making me cry.
Do you know what I would have given to have been an 8-year-old little girl who had that message? Because what would have happened when the abuse started is I would have told.
Right.
Because I would have had that truth in me. So we don't tell our stories for our own aggrandizement. We don't tell our stories to get the spotlight put on us or for our own significance. We tell our stories so we can be used. The stories go through us and out into the universe. And now that little girl will not only not be afraid to tell, she's going to tell her friends they have to tell. You see how it starts a flame? That's how we change worlds, because stories change worlds.
Oh, that was really powerful. Wow. And what an impact. Oh my gosh.
I know.
Don't remind yourself of that all the time. Yeah. Put a post-it note about that up somewhere. Cause like I tend to sometimes forget those really powerful things and have to create reminders for myself. Cause it's, for me, it's so much about reminding myself. Cause I guess I just sort of forget sometimes. So it's constant process of reminding. So that's really incredible, Christine. Okay.
Can I say 2 more things about that?
Yes, please do.
So as far as about the reminding, I should have probably woven this in the 5 phases. We weave into these 5 phases the process of celebration. Because women are amazing. I freaking love women. Women are my passion, but we suck at celebrating ourselves. We're great at celebrating one another. Mm-hmm. But we're not great about celebrating ourselves. So that's one of those 2-millimeter shifts that we build into each of these phases is like, I finished my wheel of life and I am going to throw a freaking party. We celebrate each other. And I do a really intentional job of being like, I saw you, Jody. I saw you playing full out. Tell me about your wheel. And she like sheepishly will tell me about her wheel. And then we all go crazy because it's about creating those new patterns. And then the second thing I would say is, and this is really important for your listeners to hear, this identity work, like I've said, it's simple, but not easy. And the part of that simple is we talk about 2-millimeter shifts. You know, James Clear in Atomic Habits talks about, can you just get 1% better? So I know it sounds like a lot when we say it all and we go through these 5 phases and women can be like, yeah, no, thank you. That sounds heavy. Not heavy, because we do these 1% shifts, right? We do these little tiny shifts, those small hinges that swing big doors. And so when women can look at this process like, okay, I can do this if I only have to make small shifts, and then we get to celebrate the hell out of those.
That's right. I mean, like even a baby step is still forward motion, you know, abso-freaking-lutely. So, yeah. Well, as we're coming up on time, I want to turn this over to you. Is there anything that we missed that you really wanted to talk about today? Or is there anything that maybe is on your heart or just coming up in this moment that you'd like to share or reiterate?
Oh, we talked about so much.
It was so good.
I know. Yeah. I'm like actually so teary. Oh,
me too. I loved it.
I think for me, one of the things I love about this conversation with you, Amy, is 2 months ago, I didn't even know who you were. And by grace, I'm sitting next to you and your incredible man who gave me one of the best hugs I've ever had in my life. When I
he does that.
He's an amazing hugger. And I want to say to women, open up your eyes, lift up your head, look around, because there are splashes of grace everywhere. Because now, Amy, I count you friend. You are my mastermind sister. Your man is my friend. And it's because I didn't sit in my little bubble. I was so nervous. I mean, how often was I really sitting next to you? Because I kept getting up because I was ready to pee my pants all day waiting to speak, right? But what I did is I sought you out and I wanted to get to know you and I wanted to get to know your man, because I have to make those intentional shifts to build my tribe. And so what I would say to women is as you're starting on this journey of identity work, and we should all be on an identity journey until the day we slide into home base, wherever that you believe that to be. I believe that to be heaven. So whenever I slide into home base in heaven, I am still going to be on an identity journey because of that evolution and change. But as we go on this journey, be a collector of beautiful things and be a collector of beautiful people. And I count you as one of those beautiful people that I'm so thankful I have pulled into my tribe, and you couldn't shake me if you tried.
Oh, thank you. What a lovely compliment as well. So thank you so much. And thank you for all that you shared today and all the work that you've done. You are really good at getting your message across, and that's a testament to the work that you have put into it, and well done. So yeah.
Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. So if anybody wants to work with you or follow you, everything will be in the show notes, but perhaps you can share also how they could reach you.
Yes. Well, I have a beautiful person creating a new website for me, and I have to laugh every time I say the name because it sounds so weird, but it's thechristinegale.com.
I think it sounds great. What are you talking about? Thechristinegale.com.
It
sounds great.
I'm a little sheepish about it, but it makes me smile. So I know that God's like, here, I'm going to give you this one. Thechristinegale.com is my new website. And you can find me at the Girl Out of Order podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. And on The Christine Gale is my title on Instagram. I am on TikTok, and I think it's, Lord, TikTok's a new environment for me. I think it's at G-O-O-O girl. I don't know.
Okay.
Finding me there. Cool. And then I'm Christine Salisbury Gale on Facebook. So I'm on all the things. It's busier than I want it to be, but I'm not hard to find.
Great. And it'll all be in the show notes as well. Although I am waiting for auroraflame.com. So I don't know when that one's coming.
Maybe I'll have her. I'm going to have her become like a little tab on my new website.
Oh, yeah. It'll take you to this like extra portal or something. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Christine. I loved this episode, and I love having steps. That makes me happy. Five's my favorite number, as a matter of fact, too. So five steps, even better. Yeah. Ah, great. I got my 555 necklace on just because I like fives. So thank you so much. I love you so much. And thank you for how you show up in the world. It is truly an inspiration. So everybody go follow Christine and check out all her work and perhaps join that mastermind. When does it start?
We have a target date of June 18th.
Oh, soon. Okay, great.
Yeah, very
soon.
So
people can start looking into that if they want to like delve deeper into that. So thank you for what you shared today. And I would highly recommend working with that because it just sounds incredible. And just listening to the impact that you can have by starting with yourself.
Yes, incredible. Ma'am.
Incredible. So thank you to everybody that tuned in today. I am just ecstatic that we are connected, that you are here, that we get to share this space together, that we get to reverberate out into the universe together and keep creating change that starts with us and flows out into the world, just like Christine said today. So much power in this episode. And I would love to hear from you and what really resonated with you. Feel free to reach out to me anytime. Speaking of easy to find, I'm super easy to find. You can respond to my newsletter. If you aren't receiving the newsletter, you can go to amyedwards.info or amyedwards.com, and everything is there. You can sign up for the newsletter. There's all sorts of podcast episodes and other content too, including my courses. So thank you so much. Or you can find me at Real Amy Edwards, of course, on Instagram, and DM me anytime. So just know that you are so incredibly loved. I love you so much. Thank you so much for being here. Till next time.
This has been the Amy Edwards Show from Overcome Studios. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe. And thank you so much for being here. Sign up for our newsletter at amyedwards.com.